Hi, my name is Nariba Shepherd.
And I'm Justin Arnett Graham.
And this is Terms of Service.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
It is the afternoon.
Yes. And we're back at it.
Yes.
With our lovely friends here at Blind Barber Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I am rested. But how are you?
I mean, we've been waiting for this moment since yesterday afternoon. I'm a Neapolitan ice cream sandwich of burns from the kayaking trip that Justin was like, we should do this thing. It's going to be so good. And it was. Shout out to Outsiders Club. It was great.
Yes.
But Justin never did it.
I did do it. Okay. I let the...
Going around the first river bend and getting stuck in seaweed.
Okay. That I did it. I went. I got in a kayak. I was kayaking and made it around a bend. And my ancestors specifically pushed me into a bed of seaweed and I got stuck and I needed to get rescued. So that is something that I cannot apologize for because it was written in the stars.
Okay. So, follow up to that.
Yeah.
I did the entire thing.
Okay.
It was 4 hours long.
Okay.
And we also didn't know we were supposed to stick to the right. So we did the additional 3 miles on the 7 mile kayak trip. So that's 10. And my ancestors said, bitch, you cannot die out here in these streets. The Caribs and the Arawaks helped me paddle my fucking way to the end.
See, and you know what? There is beauty in that journey. And I'm here for that for you. And I'm so excited that you opted to begin this by dragging me.
Yes.
But here we are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a perfect segue to that is the fact that we have two wonderful guests.
Who did not go kayaking yesterday.
There was a joke made during the kayaking trip that this... you know, this is white people shit.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it's only for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it most certainly is not for me. And now I can say that with utmost certainty.
But
the beauty about being a black person is that you can literally look at something and inherently know that it's not for you.
Yeah. Except I will have to go kayaking again.
Okay.
Because
and you'll be going kayaking without me.
Oh, yeah, no.
You're like, I went kayaking without you yesterday.
Basically. Okay. Oh, my boyfriend was like, I can't imagine Justin going kayaking. And when I got home, I said, well, you can imagine it because it didn't happen.
It happened. It happened. But thank you again. And hello and welcome to our amazing guest, Alex. How are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, recovering from the trauma of yesterday.
Oh my God! But, you know, Cortez has more trauma.
You live to tell the tale. So
I mean, thank
you
so very much. I did live to tell the tale. Again, I'm not going to go into the whole back and forth about me having to be rescued, but it was a time. It was an absolute time. And thank you so much, Alex, for joining us. And Albert. How are you?
Everyone. I'm doing great.
Great. Yeah. To begin, what are your feelings about kayaking?
Mine?
Yes.
I have very opposite feelings to the both of you.
Okay. Well, then skip it. So, no worries. All right.
I'm on Albert's side. Kayaking's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Cool. Well, see, this is why we said this is white people.
I would like to input that I did not kayak the distance you did. It was I kayaked in a small pond and I went fishing and it was very relaxing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I'm down to go kayaking if it's like an hour, maybe two. But when we got to 2.5 hours, I was like, this is it. I live here now. And then every time I went around a bend, I was like, Pocahontas, is this the river bend that you were talking about?
That's an empowering moment.
It felt like it in the beginning, but it wasn't.
Does it stay empowering, though, to when you keep going around multiple river bends and you have to just keep going?
I mean, I was very excited when we went around the last one and there were people there. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Baby Jesus, you really pulled through on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as per tradition. And I'm low-key crying.
I'm ready
because
to
I'm
know-
thinking about how ridiculous, how much fun, but like all the stories that came out of it, which is what I love. But Alex, as
what's
per
your
tradition,
sign?
What's your sign?
My sign?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like astrological sign.
Oh, Virgo.
Oh.
Solid.
Nareba, what does that mean?
I fucks with the Virgo.
Great.
The August solid, if that makes a difference.
I mean...
So I've been told, but...
Yeah, it does make a difference, but I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to judge you too hard. Everyone at this point in podcast history so far knows how I feel about Leos.
Okay, we're not getting into that.
Why can we not get into it?
Every time we get into it, I always feel like I have to put an apology out there.
No, you don't have to apologize for me.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that is
fair. I said what I said. I meant it.
Okay.
Anyway,
Leos, please, please proceed with caution when it comes to terms of service.
They know what they're about.
Okay. Okay.
And it doesn't matter to them because they still think they're the shit no matter what. Facts. So Virgos, very traditionally put together people in the sense that, like, it's a task-oriented situation. Like, if you decide you're going to do something, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get to it.
Sounds about right.
It's gonna get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Does sound about right.
We are Virgo rising people here, so we get it.
I'm like the dad for like my group of friends. So
love that.
Yeah.
Do you have any dad jokes?
I've been going through a phase of like anti jokes.
Yes.
Lately. So
what does that mean? Tell us more.
Yeah, what does that
What's
mean?
Blue and smells like red paint?
I don't know.
Blue paint.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Another classic as well. What's brown and sticky?
I don't know.
Maple syrup?
A stick. Like, they're really bad. Yeah. That's the phase I'm going through at the minute.
I'm going to be using those. Those are fucking
bad. Yeah. Right, last one. Yes. What's white and something that you'd hate for to have for breakfast?
I don't
Bread?
Know.
An avalanche.
Shit. I do like
they're
that.
Just, they're just, yes, they're yeah. stupid. Yeah. But, like, that's, yeah, my humor
oh,
as well.
We're going to talk about that extensively off mic because I'm low-key obsessed with this. Albie, what's your sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Yes. Yes.
I really enjoy Pisces. They're very misunderstood people. I feel like they
also
have a lot
emotional.
Of the leftovers of Aquarius. Like this Aquarius season, the like artistic
Always
and
Aquarius
the
season over here.
Ready to like create something in a minute, but downsides of Pisces, so into self, cannot sometimes see that they might be the problem. I fucks with that, but other people, Aquariuses, have been known to not like that because they don't like seeing their bad traits on the outside.
Well, as an Aquarius,
I don't have any bad traits.
I love Albie. So, you know.
All I'm saying, yeah, sometimes this happens.
The first things he said to me, he's just like, we're best friends now, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, that's their energy. That's his energy.
Yeah, he called me a bucket of roses.
Bucket of roses.
Tell me more about this. Is it because of the rosé?
No. It was purely off the dome. And it was funny. I was actually talking to someone next to him. And
did he absorb the compliment?
Oh, yeah. And if you know Justin, you know his extreme sarcasm. So
no fucking.
I was fighting it with more sarcasm and saying how much Justin is just a bucket of roses. And
I hated every second of it.
I think every time I've seen him since. He's changed the phrase just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he'll be like, oh, I'm just a pail of roses. Oh, I'm just a box of tulips. Like, he never says what I actually said the first time.
I said that I could just be a barrel of monkeys.
Barrel of monkeys. That was a good one.
That was a whole thing.
Really changing it up. We're not even talking about flowers anymore.
No, we weren't talking about flowers anymore. So
well, yes. You are full of shenanigans.
Oh, and he will shenanigan.
Oh.
Shout out Zach and Cody.
Okay, there we go. I was like, you know what? That... I will receive that.
I will.
So, Albie, how does the interpretation of Virgo sit with you? Does that sound...
Pisces?
Excuse me. Pisces. Sorry. Virgo over here. Pisces over here. I'm looking at you. You are a Pisces. Go. Does that sound correct?
I mean, I guess so. Yes,
there's
I would describe myself as very artistic.
Yeah,
like played music my whole life, involved in theater, and I like creating things.
Yeah,
but also to her point, she said the issue with Pisces is that they might be more self-minded and not be able to see it. So I don't know if that's true because I'm unable to see it. Yeah.
That is a beautiful response.
I genuinely hope that's not true. I feel like I'm a pretty fair person, but again, I might not be able to see it.
I mean, I don't know what your rising or your moon might be. So it could be that it's a little like self.
What's that app that like tells you all that? I had that at one point.
I just use Google. CoStar?
CoStar, yes. CoStar.
I had to delete CoStar off of my phone during the panini because it kept being like...
It will read you down.
Yeah, it'd be like, five of your friends feel just as sad. And I'm like, I don't need this. I don't need like a group mourning situation.
Right.
It's chill. It's too much pressure. But I did find a new app recently that won't sell my data to the U.S. government.
That's always nice.
For tracking one's period. Putting that out there. Know that none of you need this information, but someone listening might.
Okay.
It's called Stardust, and they literally promise to not sell your information to the government, seeing as they don't give a fuck.
Shout out Stardust.
To know.
It will tell you.
If anyone from Stardust is listening, feel free to contact us at connectedtotalservice.media. Thank you so very much.
I learned from this app that I am a white crescent witch because it's like astrology based for when it like falls. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that really means yet, but I'm going to hold on to that energy.
I love that. Okay, great. Well, I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yep.
So we're just going to get right into it. Alex, if you would like to kick us off with a little bit about you and your background and where you're from. Because people listening might be like, that man sounds a little different.
Just a little bit. So I'm from Ireland. So
where in Ireland?
The county of Louth, and the town is Drogheda. I'd say Drogheda to everyone else, but if you're from my town, you say Drogheda.
Drogheda.
Yeah, Drogheda.
That sounds like the name of something.
It's the name of the town that his phone.
That too, yeah.
You know what the fuck?
Okay. It's, yeah. I mean, it has a bad rap in Ireland, the town itself, but like it's totally fine. It's a really picturesque, nice town. We just had the Fláchiúil, which is like the Irish like music festival, sort of like traditional Irish music and stuff. So you have that for 2 years. And it's the largest town in Ireland. So went to school there. All boys school.
Did you say it's the largest town in Ireland?
The largest town in Ireland. Not like city, like town.
Oh, okay.
So you have like your villages.
Someone said something about Cork being the largest place in Ireland and supposedly people in Dublin don't like that.
No, Dublin's the biggest city, definitely. Then Cork, then Galway, I'll go with.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to school there. Primary school was an all-boys school. Secondary school was an all-boys school. That's traditionally what they are, Catholic schools.
Yeah.
And now I'm studying to be a primary school teacher, which is like your version of an elementary school teacher.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, so I've like 1 year left in college. So it's like Trinity College, you guys would know it as, but it's like every college will have like another campus for primary school teachers.
So my question is it like the rest of the world where it's like in standard five, you take like a test to see what like secondary school you go to?
Oh, not for secondary school.
Okay.
Secondary school, you can kind of just go to whatever, but for colleges, which is your universities or whatever, you take a leaving cert. Mm-hmm. So I did, I think, was it eight subjects, nine subjects?
Ooh.
I'm trying to think, eight subjects. And seven of them count.
Yeah.
So you basically, you study from first year up till sixth year. Fourth year is a transition year. You do like...
And you narrow it down to like what you want to be studying for the
Not necessarily, but like, so you do, you have to do English, Irish, maths.
Mm-hmm.
They're compulsory. And it's like scored, like you basically sit one big test at the end, just one test, that's it, on maths.
Okay.
And that's like, maths is two papers, English is two papers. You get like maximum of 100 points, and that's between 90 and 100%, you get 100 points. Hmm. And then it's basically a point system on how you get into college then. So I think my college was 465.
That is a ton of numbers that I do not understand, but yeah, it sounds wild.
It's like, yeah, so, I mean, like, Irish primary school teaching would be, I'm going to say, it'd be harder to get into. There's a lot harder to get into. Like, obviously, like, to be a doctor, you have to sit, like, a H-pad and different things, but I'm not going to get into that. That's
that's someone else's journey.
Yeah, that's not me. Sure. But, yeah. And then you have to score a H4 in Irish to get into Irish primary school teaching, because we have to speak, well, you guys know it as Gaelic. So it's like Gaelic is more like Scottish, but we have
one of the first Gaelic things I said to Alex was say something to me in Gaelic.
Yeah.
And
that is
and
the most did. American thing oh, yeah, in the entire
what
world.
What a warm greeting.
You know, I do believe that I said hello first, and then he said something to me in Gaelic, and I was like, oh, what does that mean?
But we're
like,
not confident that you said hello first.
These are that's fair. I hope I said hello first.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
Thank you. Well,
on air, we're gonna go with he did it.
It sounds like Justin. Yeah, that's cool.
I feel like it does. And also, thank you so much for your background, Alex. Albie, you look like you have something to share. Why don't you talk about your background?
Where
the hell you're from?
I am from Rogers Park, Chicago.
Ooh, nice. I live in Rogers Park. I love it. I'm moving.
Shout out to Ian Western.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
I used to live on Lunt forever ago.
Yeah, I'm literally a block away.
Yeah, I used to live on top of a theater right there near Heartland Cafe, which I don't think is
it's anymore. Gone. She gone.
Heartland Cafe is the first restaurant I ever went to. I was like 2 years old.
Huh. Well, nice.
Are you still in Rogers Park?
Yeah. Well, technically.
Technically, not.
Okay.
On my taxes, I am.
Oh, okay.
On my taxes, I am.
Okay.
Well, no one's listening to this of importance, so they'll never find you.
I feel like as a student, though, like, where do you, like...
I guess that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Now I get it. But yeah, so originally from Rogers Park. Yeah. And what are you doing now?
I am in culinary school in New York City. Well, not, sorry. I should not say that. It is not New York City. It's Hyde Park, which is an hour and a half from the city, but New York State at the Culinary Institute of America.
Mm.
But definitely not my first college. Took a few stops before that.
No, that's fair. I mean, sometimes it'd be that way.
I mean, that's the journey. So how's it been?
In general or with school specifically?
Both?
A little bit of both. A little bit of column A, column B.
Yeah.
Column A, column B. Overall, I'd say it's on the up, discovering a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. The more information I get, the less answers I have, which I think is kind of funny.
I mean, that's real. Yeah, I feel that.
But to be a little sentimental, I think I'm in the right place. It's probably the hardest I've ever worked in my life, but I think it's right for me. Classes are very hard. They're 6 a.m. to 1:30, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And I live off campus, so I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. But
see, that pains me because I'm a night owl, so I will be up until that time, just sending emails and sometimes text messages, being like, "Hey, just so you know,
I know." Yeah, every morning I wake up and there's like either a text message or like an email that happened, and when I open, it's like 3 a.m. Sir.
Yeah.
I've been asleep for 2 hours. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
What are you studying?
I will end up with a bachelor's in food business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With a culinary focus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I think it's important to mention why I think it's great to have the both of you here, because I want to really explore the dichotomy here of the, you know, American education system when it comes to the culinary arts. And then also, Alex, you're here on a J-1 visa.
Yeah.
And your background is that of, like, in education. So
yeah.
I want to know from you, Alex, why the hell did you come to America and decided that you wanted to be a part of the hospitality industry for a couple of months?
Yeah. I suppose Yeah, because everybody asks, like, why are you here? And I'm like, that's, I don't know. It's a thing Irish people kind of do. So, like, we've missed it for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the pandemic and everything. So, you haven't had us for 2 years, but there's a, at the minute, there's so many Irish people here now.
I work with three J1 people.
So, but, like, at home, so my, like, part-time job is working in a bar. So, like, I'm a bartender at home.
Nice.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, we apply through this company, USIT, and you got all your details, your documents. I mean, it's a lot of paperwork to get over here. And then you can you have the option of, like, they find a job for you or you find a job. But I was like, look, it'll save me less stress if they find a job for me. And then, but you click on, like, there's a whole portal, and I clicked on Let Us Entertain You, whatever, and they sort out, did a little interview, and, like, amazing. Like, I did kind of hit, like, the jackpot, I'd say, in terms of
that. We're gonna talk about that off mic, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, Chicago just sort of stood out to us, so I came over with a group of friends. They're all sort of working at the same kind of places. But yeah, we were just, I think originally we were like, it was between San Diego and Chicago.
San Diego.
But I don't
named
know.
After, go on.
Whale's Anchorman. Vagina.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. You gotta have us say that, but okay.
Yeah. Why can't we say vagina?
When San Diego comes out, someone has to say it. It's the rule.
It's fair.
But yeah, Chicago just, I mean, like, yeah, so much history, and you're on the East Coast, you have every big city beside you as well, so a lot of traveling afterwards. But, I mean, yeah, the industry.
Are we considered the East Coast?
He travels after.
Yeah, when I travel after. Okay, got it. I mean, you're the East of America, you're not the West, anyway.
We're on the eastern side. We're too close to Ohio to be like.
Yeah. I've just never heard it expressed that way. I think it's great.
Well, listen, it's because we look at maps and y'all are just like arbitrarily throwing lines. Like, why is O'Hare part of the city of Chicago?
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother
Chicago
episode.
Zoning.
Yeah. I was like, don't have enough time.
Yeah.
We simply just do not have enough time.
You guys have it easy with the way your streets are laid out as well. Just
remember that. Okay, so I understand that.
Because you're talking about the grid system.
Yes.
Yeah, the grid system, of course.
Because they believe that you can't get lost in the grid system.
The first day I used Google Maps, and then after that, I was like, okay, I know where I'm going.
If you know where the lake is, it's real easy.
Literally, it's like...
But Boston does not exist.
But, I want people to understand that. The east side does not exist. That is the lake.
That is the lake.
Yeah.
No.
Shout out to Shauna.
But, like, I understand that because Boston is still, like, horse and buggy shit. And that's what it was like when I went to Ireland. I was like, oh, this is, like.
You've been to Ireland?
Yes.
Of course you have.
It's
Go on.
Being cultured.
Albie, I'm coming for you. Okay. Go on, Nereva.
I was 16 when I went. It was like for study abroad thingy in high school, and
Dublin.
We traveled all over the place. Okay. It was like a tour du jour of the UK and Ireland, and we took a massive boat over.
Okay.
And then a massive boat back. I don't know what it's called exactly, but I do know I got
the ferry.
New Jersey. We flew in from Jersey into Germany and then Germany.
I just think that it's very important to clarify where said boat was coming from.
Fair.
Returning you back to.
Yes. Transatlantic.
I
do not do cruises. I cannot. I cannot be trapped in my enemy for a long time.
Oh, well, that's fascinating.
And we're back around kayaks.
We're back talking about kayaks.
If you want to go there, I will go there. Yeah, exactly. You can't. Okay. You could have not made the relation. I wasn't even thinking about kayaks or the fact that my tan lines.
Alex, did you not make the connection?
Yeah, I twigged it straight away. Yeah.
But no, yeah, the road system is like old school, like cart and buggy type shit. So everything is like a point randomly. So when I went to Boston with my boyfriend last year, he was like, this fucking city doesn't make any goddamn sense. And I was like, I know. And he's like, why are there cobblestones here? I'm like, because they like old things here.
I mean,
a lot of Irish people there as well.
It's so many.
Probably something to do with it.
Yeah. So many.
I love a cobblestone.
Same. You know what I don't like a cobblestone for?
A heel.
Your suspension.
Yeah. That.
Both of those things. Yeah,
that. Well, so Albert, just talking to Alex in regards to, you know, his the J-1 visa process and, you know, what brought him over here. What led you to culinary school and specifically the internship that you're currently wrapping up here?
So what led me to culinary school was kind of a long college journey. I grew up playing drums and jazz drums.
Okay.
And that's what I studied in high school. I went to Senn High School in Edgewater for music.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I thought, during high school, I thought I was going to be a music teacher. And then I got interested in jazz and jazz drumming, percussion, all that jazz.
Very Chicago of you.
Yes, very nice. Yeah, well played,
Senior year, I started auditioning in New York City and UIC here. And I ended up at UIC for jazz studies. And while there, had a great time. But all the friends I kind of hung out with, like, would come out of hours and hours of rehearsals and classes and still, like, be talking about music, playing music, and they just, like, lived and breathed that.
Hmm.
And I noticed that was not how I felt about it. I loved it, but I, like, wanted to go to bed. Yeah. So I wanted to find that for me.
Always.
Heard.
Yeah. Everything I do just puts one foot in front of the other to lead me back to my bed.
I mean,
but then go
but
to
do
bed
you sleep though?
Not past 3:30.
But do you sleep though?
I said that it gets me to my bed. Okay. Sleep is a different step. Okay. Yeah. But I'm in my bed. Go on.
So for me, that was baseball. I grew up playing baseball and that was like my passion. So I went to play D1 junior college baseball as a pitcher in DeKalb, Illinois, which is
I've gone to a sports show before.
Yeah. Sports show.
Yeah. During our during our last break, everyone's just like, you know, Justin, just like take some time and decompress. And I
like do something for fun.
And decompress at a sports show.
Yeah, okay,
sports
but like literally anything that wasn't working is like decompression for him.
Yeah. So I went for people that want to hear the, you know, deeper details of this. It is on the it's on the episode with our friends at Lemon Chicago. I do believe the episode is called Lemonade,
yes.
The TOS version. But anyhow,
how do you remember this?
I can't.
I feel like I smoke too much weed to have a short-term memory.
I mean,
I ain't got no. I don't know how I did tickets to be TBH. Like,
but you know what?
I did it though.
You did it.
True.
And that's what matters.
Basically, he called going to the White Sox game. He went to a sports show.
Yes.
Oh,
and
shout out White Sox.
I was just like,
it was an entire show. Okay. It was an entire show. And I will stand by the fact that the Chicago White Sox were against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is also correct.
Because I have no idea who that baseball team is from that.
Do you remember colors? That might help.
You know what? You know, I'm just
nothing.
I'm just saying, like,
because they didn't play the Pirates recently, so it wouldn't have been the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, this was last summer. But
it was last summer.
Oh,
yeah. But also,
our like relaxation was supposed to be kayaking.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. Yeah,
it's just gonna like be interspersed throughout this entire episode
because
and the next week.
Yeah, because I mean, it has to.
Yep.
You know, I feel like we'll go round and round. Like I went round and round with that kayak before I got stuck and subsequently rescued.
You know
but
what?
Anyhow,
it's
I'll
fine.
Be, continue.
So yeah, I played at that junior college and did all right, but my body was like breaking down. I was like, can't do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
But while in school, I worked for the nearby university in their stadium, football, basketball stadium, cooking with them. And I have cooking experience because my dad had like a small catering company growing up that we would do like bar mitzvahs and stuff at our temple.
That's awesome.
got pretty motivated with that. And when the pandemic hit, they moved me to a hospital cafeteria where the chef there was an alumni of the school I am now at. And he told, to be honest with you, he was not a great representation of the school, but he told me about the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did my own research from there and had to make kind of a decision that if I want to get into the culinary industry, what do I want? If I just want to be a chef my whole life, this is my third college, I'll just go work at the best places and like work my way up. But I really enjoy the business part of it and the paperwork part of it and the leadership part of it. So I thought, all right, I want something to say that I was trained in this. And to me, the school that I'm at has the best balance of both culinary training and business education.
So that's fascinating because most people would look to the Culinary Institute of America as like this pinnacle of education. What would you say to those that necessarily don't want to go that route? And yeah.
It like truly depends on who you are and what you want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because
I didn't do none of that shit.
Yeah.
I just sold my soul to a bunch of random white dudes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and eventually made it all the way to the top without having to sleep with anyone.
Heard.
And on that.
I mean, that's a very legitimate way. And so many, based on my experience, a majority of people go that route because no. My school is not cheap.
Well, no, yeah. And that was the other thing. Like when I started my culinary journey after I graduated from the University of Vermont, and they were trying to get me to go to the Culinary Institute there in Montpelier. I don't think that's correct.
Okay.
Whoops. Anyway, it's basically like CIA in Vermont is like the whole fucking town. NECI, the New England Culinary Institute.
Okay.
They're the entire town, and there's like a hotel, and everyone like has jobs there and like all this stuff. And they really wanted me to go there as well. I was like, I saw very few people of color walking around this bitch. And I was also tired of reading. I didn't want to read anymore.
One thing I will give the CIA credit is it is surprisingly diverse.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yes.
It better
be
in New York.
I did not expect it out of an old white institution.
Fair.
It is surprisingly diverse. And to the point of like what people want to do, apparently people want to do it because for the past 2 years, we've had the largest classes at the CIA that we've had in the past.
You know why?
With that being said, we have more than lowered the requirement. Originally, you needed 6 years of food service experience to
before
even
you even get in.
Yeah.
What?
And then, that's like, wild. In the early 2000s, literally every year they started lowering it. And
you know
now
why?
There's no requirement.
You know why? Because it's so hard to get any fucking experience in the food service industry before,
right?
Like in the olden golden days, you could just show up with the help wanted like thing in your hand and be like, I have this job now. Yeah. And now you have to be like, you have to know like five people who have to like verify that you worked at the place. Because they don't want a resume either. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't care.
Well, and I think that
they want that stage.
I think that it's interesting because, you know, back in those days, which I don't necessarily agree with the way things were before, because I mean, it's trash before, and then now it's just kind of like repackaged.
It's different trash.
It's different trash. And so it'd be like staging at these amazing organizations with these, you know, powerhouse, you know, personalities, and it comes down to, for me, just an observation of classism, because you're getting free labor off the backs of these people that are doing these stages, but only a select amount of people can afford to work for your ass for free in order to get that as a reference point, which I think is just wild. And as we're continuing this conversation, I want to ask Alex a question.
Go
so
for
prior to you arriving here in the, I mean,
you try to say the great city of Chicago, but choked on it a little bit.
No. I was trying to say this paradox of a union that we call a country here.
The U.S. of A.
Yes. What were your thoughts or perceptions prior to coming here in regards to not only hospitality, but the culture of this country?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, like, obviously American politics has a massive ripple across the world, let alone just in the States. So, yeah. like we would still know a lot about, like, American politics. And, yeah, one of my mates in particular, you know the ins and outs of it, like...
Most foreigners know more about the U.S. than
yes,
most
than the
U.S.
citizens
yeah. do.
Actual. Yeah,
probably. But no, like the expectations.
As a not American, I can verify that.
As in terms of expectations, I mean, like the country varies so much. So like, as like in school, like I studied parts of America, like for like geography, and then in like different subjects. And like the Southwest in particular, but like it'd be so different from here. And then in terms of the industry, I thought it was going to be very similar. So like yeah. the culinary industry and the, like as in working in a bar, I thought it was going to be nearly the exact same as Ireland. Like as in, oh sure, the Irish are known for drinking, we have everything, but it's completely different.
It's a different beast here.
It's...
And like, specifically in Chicago.
Right? Yeah. And that's what I was saying before the show. I was like, I didn't realize the whole like Mexican influence like in Chicago mm-hmm. in particular is massive. Like I knew from obviously Mexico, like Southwest USA, like the whole border there, of course there'd be like it'd be like nearly the same, but Chicago, crazy. Like, and obviously you have like Chinatown, you have like there's Greek Town, there's Little Italy, you have like
Ukrainian village, everything.
You have so many sections that like are just dedicated to different people, which kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, like it's pretty cool. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Segregation in Chicago.
I know. I was like, yeah, but it's like that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. It's pretty cool, but at the same time, it's very weird for me because in Ireland, I mean, we have like a lot of people from Eastern Europe, as in that's like massive. And I mean, it's Ireland's quite diverse, and it's only since I've come here I'm like, okay, yeah, right, we're actually kind of like doing well. And like, I mean, we brought in like loads of Ukrainian refugees and all, and like it's great to see. But yeah, in terms of the industry, the tipping culture blows my mind.
Yes, there it is.
I was like, do I just throw this in?
But let's go for it. Talk about it.
So I work as a barman at home, and like we don't get tipped.
No.
But we don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, because you guys get paid a regular amount of money,
Yeah, I suppose. Like it's the cost of living.
But you have enough to pay your bills, fill up your car, buy groceries, like,
that's kind of to get us by. But most people my age, and like my sister is 26, still lives with parents. Like, and I still live with my parents. Everyone my age will still live with their parents, pretty much. And then like, if you go to college and you stay on campus, like, that money is probably, if you worked your ass off for like ages, that's where that money is going, or like your parents are helping you out. Like, there's no way that like the industry is going to like sustain
you
and support you for your house, for
so
your mortgage.
Also,
and
not a livable wage.
The same. So
not really. Like, and then I suppose if you work in a restaurant and you're a waitress or a waiter, you will get tipped. Like, so the tipping culture, it is strange. At the end of a meal, I mean, you won't go like, oh, you tip 18-20%. It's like, oh, I'll throw you €10.
So is it not like a shared pool system where they have to tip the bar out?
No.
The servers?
No, in fairness, where I work, I'm lucky that we have a restaurant with us and everything is pooled.
Nice. No, okay.
And it's like split on the shifts that you do.
Yeah.
Based off of the hours that you work.
Yeah. But like most places are just like some pub in the middle of like probably nowhere. And like they wouldn't get tipped. And like it's strange. The price
is it insulting to tip? Because some places, I'm not speaking about Ireland specifically because I don't know, but other places that I've been around the world, it could be seen as an insult.
Like, some people in Ireland probably would see it that way, as in, and it only dawned on me when someone actually handed me a tip in work, and I was looking, like, it was a decent tip, and I was like, are you sure? I was like, literally, I was like, are you,
do you need me to break this for you?
You don't have to give me all this. I'm like, no, I'm just doing my job. Like, that's what we're being paid for. Yeah. Although it's like not like a huge amount.
Yeah.
Is there a big difference between your hourly wage and the servers that are at the restaurant you're connected to?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't say so. Maybe we would get a little bit more, but by a little bit, I mean like,
what about the cooks?
That I don't know a lot about. They would be paid more, I'd imagine. More? Yeah, the cooks definitely.
Anyway. That's what I imagined here, but
that's
nah.
I hear and I'm like, that's crazy because it's
well, okay. So yeah. I guess it would be like the when I was the last line cooking job that I had, I was paid like $18 an hour, which is like less than I should be getting for the amount of experience that I have, but like more than some places. And, but the thing is like with the tip out per hour for front of house, they make more money.
Right.
Because they're making like $30, maybe $40 an hour. And the back of house shifts are like way longer.
Yeah.
So like if I worked let's say a 10-hour day, after taxes, I'll make like maybe $153.
Okay.
Whereas a like server or a bartender would make like $300 that day.
Yeah.
When also what's interesting to me, bro, is that you have real life experience in both now.
Yeah.
Because when we first started this, you just strictly had back of house experience.
Do you remember when I got my first paycheck when I started bartending last year and I lost my fuck? I was mad as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like almost three times the amount of money that I made as an executive chef.
Yeah.
And like you guys like work.
Yeah.
And work. To emphasize your point, in my internship, not even finished culinary school, ABBA is my first technical restaurant job.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting paid $18 an hour. To emphasize your point,
it's and the cost of living here as well. Like,
yeah,
the cost of living here as well
is insane.
Yeah.
Which, and specifically Chicago. Chicago is like the fourth most expensive. Yeah.
What are you talking about? He was like going to go to San Francisco.
That's what I'm saying.
San Diego. No, but my room. So like we actually ended up being paired with a roommate from San Francisco. But like, yeah, he was saying that, yeah, cost of living there, mad expensive.
And I was going to ask, what is your housing
exorbant
here?
Exorbitant in San Francisco.
It's like 12 dudes in one apartment.
Is it like a hostel or is it like a proper like apartment?
No, proper apartment. So yeah, the J1 experience is normally like, 12 guys or like whatever in like maybe just, one room, mattresses everywhere on the floor. We kind of got lucky in that we actually had an apartment and there was a guy on the couch as usual, like you just stayed there for the last like 2 months. But where we're going to next, because like
also that just feels very like that's European hostile in general. You know, just like couch surfing and just kind of having this kind of like nomadic point of view in regards to travel. I mean, I love that shit. I just don't know if
we finna air mattress up.
Can you fit on a couch?
You know what? All of this
energy towards me right now.
Exactly.
You a fancy bitch.
But I listen.
I'm a frat boy. I'll sleep anywhere.
I said that I do everything so I can get back to my bed. Okay? So I will need a bed, but I respect those that do that. You know, because that's amazing and I feel like it's very freeing.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we do our first travel experience together. And the accommodations are not what you expected.
The accommodations will be exactly how I expected. Okay, so let that be in charge of that shit.
Yeah, yeah,
I was just like,
right.
They will be exactly how it should be. Again, Alex, continue.
Where are we? Where are we going to next? Because the lease ended for the apartment. Like, yeah, there'll be more people just like piled into a room, whatever, until we move on from Chicago.
And this is through that same company.
No, we found the accommodation ourselves. They don't find accommodation for you. So it's kind of just
that's
like
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they chose to pile up in a room.
Yeah, everything's a choice.
You know what? Yeah, I was just like, that might be the name of this episode. But go on.
Yeah. So then we'll be going down to DC, up to New York, and then Boston. And
okay. Boston.
Sort of the same sort of arrangements, I'd imagine. Just keep it cheap.
Yeah. When you get to Boston,
someone told me that DC's nickname is Chocolate City.
Yeah,
had no idea.
Hella black
did
people there.
I did not know that.
I
knew about
there.
The Jamaican community, but not
also very deep there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, DC would be like a port. Any place with a port has a heavy Caribbean like situation. Mm-hmm. That's why there's so many Trini people in Boston. So there's only two things you need to do when you go to Boston.
Okay.
You definitely have to go to Singh's Roti Shop. Okay. It has very good Trinidadian food, and I think you would enjoy it. However, Sissy K's is one of the like big Irish bars downtown.
Sissy K's. Okay.
And they'd
He's being
probably
recorded,
be very
so
excited.
You can just listen back for the
And
year.
Then also, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
This information.
Yes, also.
I was like struggling to write it down.
No, Sissy K's is like a place that always happens to be bumping around St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Which is like a thing here, but not anywhere else.
You guys like do St. Patrick's Day like bigger than we do.
No.
I was going to
St.
Patrick's Day bigger because
Chicago does.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I heard Chicago does.
They go hard.
Like,
we dye the entire river green.
Yeah.
So,
you guys know we put orange dye in the river to make it green?
So it's not dye. It is a chemical that highlights a certain type of pollution in the water that turns it green when it's present.
Right. Yep.
But I will say for Broey's sake that the river has gotten healthier in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And instead of having one species, it now has upwards of 23 that exist in the water again. So it's getting better, but it's still like...
Some facts for the kids.
Yeah.
So our river is like, well... The Liffey, which is the one in Dublin, is probably just like naturally green.
Shout out to Liffey.
Shout out to Liffey. Yeah. No. Shout out to Boyne. That's the main one. No, but it's like you guys. Like, I have to come back for a Chicago St. Patrick's Day. I think.
Listen, in college, I made up a holiday. College, I made up a holiday called St. Practice Day, and it was September 17th. So it was like the halfway mark. The colors were the actual colors of St. Patrick, so blue and white. And I used to get a pony keg and set it up in the backyard of our apartment, and we would play bocce ball. It was just an excuse to be drunk and play bocce ball.
May I ask, bocce ball?
Bocce ball is like...
I'm being exposed to a lot of new things, so it's...
Get in there. The only sport that Justin plays.
Correct.
Another sport show?
You know what?
With Justin playing, it is a sports show.
Exactly. I always say when there are sports involved, your boy will put on a show. Okay? Don't you worry about it. But so what's interesting is bocce ball is this old Italian sport to where Italian gentlemen would get together, drink beers or, you know, their beverage of choice, and they would just, you know,
throw larger, heavier balls.
Yeah,
it's like Quidditch.
You could do it without
Quidditch. Interesting.
But without the flying broomsticks, you know what I mean?
Flying broomsticks, that is
correct. The snitch is the little white ball, and you have to get all
like
of the bigger balls close to
it. Yeah, bowls.
Yeah, it's just
wouldn't
like
you'd be pretty close to curling.
Does that not involve ice?
Curling is like you have to like
but
polish
like
the
concept
ice, right?
Of like getting it
I want to play curling.
No,
do you play curling?
It's like weirdly enough, one of the only Olympic sports I watch because it's.
I love it. Yeah,
curling with ice.
Yeah, they polish the ice so that the slide.
You're throwing something.
You're
trying to get near something.
Like you could just roll it in the grass or like sand, like.
But you're not. It's not pins like bowling.
No,
no, I know. Like yeah, I know what you're on about now. Yeah, it's just like bowls, though. I think.
Yeah,
it
just it's.
You have to get it closer to the like smaller,
exactly, like
whatever color.
Without touching it.
Yes, I love me some bocce ball, and I feel like this is a great opportunity to shout out our friends at American Bocce Company because they are fire, and they are the ones that taught me everything I know about bocce. And I realized that I'm not trash at that sport, so it's great. And nice. Thank you to them. They're not a part of this episode, but I love them so much. So, but while I'm going on a, you know, thank you spree, just wanted to give a supreme shout out to our friends and sponsors over at Athletic Brewing. We have been enjoying their Run Wild IPA. They're located in Connecticut. And their non-alcoholic craft beer literally tastes like the real goddamn thing. And I don't understand how they do it, but I am not a magician. I am simply a consumer that enjoys the hell out of this.
I definitely prefer the upside down. Wow. Yeah, upside my Trini accent was like fighting to come out for a second. Upside down. It's their golden ale and it is delightful. And it is, I think, my favorite. And then it's followed by their Mexican-style cerveza.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you so much to Athletic Brewing. Our guests are enjoying it as well, so I hope that you love it. So there we go. So carrying on. This is where I think it's
going to be. Wait, I have a follow-up question to what you were talking about earlier from, like, going from, like, one field of study to, like, another sort of thing. What I'm starting to realize now is that cooking for me, I'm very good at it technically. And like, I'm able to like use the knowledge that I have to do like flavor Bible type like connections. Mm-hmm. However, I remember my high school dance teacher telling me that I was very good at dance technically, but I had no spirit for it. Like she was like, when you dance, it's like very good. But if I put you next to someone who's like feeling that shit in every fiber of their body, it doesn't read the same.
They're gonna eat you up and leave
exactly,
no crumbs.
Exactly. Okay, as a kid said. And I feel like that's how I feel sort of about cooking now. Whereas I really enjoy doing it on my own. Like the idea, like someone texted me yesterday and was like, would you be up to for doing a catering thing? I'm like, no, because people have like this idea of what food is like and what like service is like. And I say no a lot. Like they're like, can you do this? And I'm like, no. Well, why?
Because
I'm not going to culturally appropriate anything. So I just like don't do any like. Anything that isn't exactly what I want to do. So I do a lot of volunteer work because they just want you to like do something for free and you can do whatever the fuck you want. Mm. So I'm like, yep, volunteer charity stuff, 100. But like, I hope that for you, it's sort of like the experience of finding something that you also are passionate about and you're like, technically good at it at the same time. That would be my ideal situation.
And that's something that I'm sort of exploring because this internship has, I've spent the majority of my time on the line and then back of house. Mm-hmm. But once a week, as Justin knows, I do front of house follow our sommelier, our GM, bartender, barback, server, all that.
Yeah.
And it, in a funny way, it's helped, but also not helped my search because I now realize that I'm also very good in the front of house. I like looking at people and talking to people about things. And most of the people I go to school with, they're cool with people, but they do not want to talk to anybody. They want to put their head down.
That's how Nariba used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
scream it from the rooftops to where she's like, don't talk. No, like I don't want to.
So finding that, like I know that I'm good at talking to people, and if I gain more experience in front of house positions, I might find that I'm more technically good at that. Like I'm very interested in wine recently, and trying to learn as much as I can about it. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about staging, because that's still very much the message in the industry to stage, even at culinary school.
Yep.
I think is hilarious.
I think is.
I'm trying to get stages for the rest of the month before I go back to school, because I want to, as I said, this is my first restaurant
pay
job.
Pay your stages. Go on.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, they'll pay you if you get the job. They'll pay you for your stage if you get the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all know how that goes, though, because
I know it's free labor.
They've already acquired said labor without cutting a check for compensation of said labor. Yes. Go on.
I feel, but like, because I feel, I know I'm good at cooking, and, but one thing that has, that I've not hit a wall with, but been struggling to push through, is the mental aspect. Because being in such a busy restaurant, when the screen loads up and you got tickets, I know I can cook all of the things very well, but I think it's just how my mind works, where I think too much and I don't just have confidence and do it. My mind freezes for a second, and sometimes that's too long and you get buried.
This is a very real question. Do you hate yourself a little bit?
A little bit.
Then you're going to be fine. That's like, that is what working in a kitchen is sort of like. You have to like hate yourself just a little bit to push through it. Mm-hmm. My example being kayaking. If I didn't hate myself enough, I would have still been out there right now, just hungry and alone, sunburnt, with no friends around.
Nariba.
No friends around.
I will say this for the last goddamn time. I met you at the end. You saw my smiling face and my helping hand.
And I flipped you off. Because I was tired. I still love you. But let me have this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I really do hope that you find an aspect of the culinary industry that, like, is home for you. Because, may you also not have the dreams of the ticket machine burying your soul.
Yeah.
I still have them, and it's been, well, I just.
But they have a screen.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. So no, he won't be hearing that sound.
There's also a ticket machine. Yeah, there's always a ticket machine.
We just get a screen.
Oh, yeah, that's
funny. But I think one thing that has helped is I finished my first stage last week, and unlike the place I'm at right now, the restaurant I'm at right now, where people clock in, clock out, like, that's the culture behind there, especially on the line. The stage I went to, I was partnered with someone who cared about food.
Yep.
And not saying like the food we were cooking was lower quality than the next, but it's just a different experience to be surrounded by someone who also cares about the food and the cooking of the food.
That's and the part of it.
It was a light that was like, all right, I don't think, honestly, the place I was staging at, I would argue, was not as good as where I'm working right now. Mm-hmm. But I would have come back much more eagerly than where I work right now, because of the person I was with and the people that, and the place that it was turning into, because it's changing. Mm-hmm. But just so that's what I hope to see in some of the stages, and I'm hopefully going to get some stages at some more higher echelon places, because that's what you do. Because I want to be next to people that like
really are doing, care, they're passionate,
at the best of what their ability, to see what that's like. Because that's how I work.
Yeah.
That's why I changed my career so many times. Because I can't wake up and go to a job every day for a check. I can do it for a little bit.
Yep.
But me, how my brain works.
Well, because that's just not sustainable.
That doesn't work for me. I don't care about. I mean, I don't care about the check as much as I care about, I want to know and like what I'm doing.
Right. Well, so thank you for sharing all of that. Alex, do you have any thoughts on everything that Berto just shared?
Yeah, I mean, like, and exactly what you said, where it just kind of takes that, like, not necessarily one person, it could be multiple people, but that you just sort of, it clicks with you that they're like, looking at them and you're like, right, okay, they actually care. And it kind of gives me that little bit of a motivation to go, right, okay, this is what I want to do. You might want to take like a different path, but like within that, like, it just, yeah, encourages you to go to work and be like, yeah, I'm not going in for the paycheck. I'm going in for the love of food in your case. Mm-hmm. And like, in regards with me, it's, I mean, like, I just really like, as in, it's, I find it easy to work with children and like seeing them like progress, like, and like just find something that they love. It might even be in education or whatever, but just to give them like a little bit of hope for the future and
right. Yes.
Like, see them have fun with their friends kids. And just
yeah. The way that they think is so untainted by reality.
Yeah.
That it's fun watching where they come from things with. Like, I went to school for human development and family studies.
Right, okay.
And yeah. Early childhood majors were my favorite group of people yeah. Because they were like, but they can like break so easily. And I'm like, first 6 months, babies are rubber balls. Like, until they're 8, their bones are not fully formed yeah. Or joined together. That's why you got to start gymnastics early.
Yeah.
Get them in there and, you know, try to, like, not kill their sense of joy and wonder. That's all we're asking for. Yeah,
that's true.
Love and kids.
So,
go for it.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you both, where do you hope your experience through hospitality will take you based off of what you have learned through your journey thus far?
You want to go ahead with that?
Yeah, like, I mean, for hospitality, obviously, I suppose mine is only a temporary thing. So, like, I mean, I've learned endless amount of skills from it that I feel are very transferable into the classroom.
Literally any other yeah. Workforce.
It's, I mean, yep. Dealing with people, you know, the endless amount of, like, people you deal with and different personalities and all that will help so much. And I just feel, obviously, being behind the bar and a busy bar in Ireland, like, the place I work at would be quite a popular spot. And you're just being, like, there could be... I think, like, generally a Saturday would have like 600, 700 people in the place where I'm. And
talking at someone.
You're just, but you're nonstop. You don't get a break.
Nope.
Yeah. You are just in the trenches. That's,
do you ever yes. like go outside and just like stare at nothing for like 5 minutes?
If I was allowed, yeah. I mean,
I go to the walk-in and I stand amongst the kegs and I'm yeah. just like,
yeah,
that's where I leave my backups
yeah.
in the walk-in.
Yeah, I always used to act as if like I was looking for something because specifically at the brewery that I worked at, I mean, we just had so many diverse regulars that would come in and post up at the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm back there. I'm just like, how's the family? How's work? And just like, oh, did you see this? And then they want to talk about beer. Then they want to know how things are going with me. And then it just keeps going. But then you're always like curating that conversation per regular to where I'm like, oh, I will be right back. I have to move this keg. Kegs are all full. I'm in the keg cooler and I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anyone right now. But it's just like, I love them yeah. because they've always been super supportive, but there is that mental toll mm-hmm. of always constantly have to be on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is a common thread throughout the industry.
Honestly, yeah, it's not the like the physical demands, it's definitely the mental demands.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been doing this thing where I keep it real with customers. They're like, how are you doing? I was like, I don't know, my brain's falling out, but like what kind of beer are you looking for? Yeah, and they always laugh, and I'm like, but okay. What I have learned is that from working front of house is that people cannot read. They like, uh-huh. they just like are unwilling to read.
Well, they refuse to
literally
read.
Cognitively,
they can read,
the draft
but they
menu
don't want to.
In front of them. And they're like, do you have anything on draft? And yeah. and they'll like, or they'll start flipping through it and be like, draft. Or my number one is we have a bathroom code because it's on the Riverwalk. So we're like, yeah. oh, this is the bathroom code. Don't use the first stall. It's for employees only. There is literally a stop sign on the door. And they just like will put in the number so many times and it's not the right code that it stops working for 2 minutes.
Yeah, because it locks.
And so like I've really taken to yelling at them that it's not going to work. And they're all like, as they're walking away, even though there's a huge stop sign that says, stop. The other five bathrooms are for public use. Literally.
And Nariba does not apologize at all for taking out her frustrations on the backs of silly consumers that simply refuse to do the bare minimum in order to allow her to do her job.
Yes.
So there's that.
I'm just like, if I have to follow the rules when I go to someone else's establishment, I would like people to do the same.
Which is a very baseline expectation.
I know.
Yes. Birdo, what are your thoughts? Not on the bathroom codes, if you know, but, you know. Yeah.
Right now, because it's honestly a new industry for me relative to everyone else I'm around.
Mm-hmm. You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
And that's kind of how I feel. And
that's great.
I wonder where that's going to take me. Cause
what's that like?
It's interesting because once you meet someone who isn't that, and you're like, wait, how do I maybe
avoid
not get
this,
there?
Yeah.
But
you're like, I don't want to arrive there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like to answer the question in kind of that way, because that's how I feel. I want to find the niche and a lot of things that I see that haven't gone, like where they aren't burned out or they aren't whatever that way. Mm-hmm. I want to find a place or have my own place or find a niche where I'm genuinely providing the best hospitality I can give, because that's the place I'm at or the what I want to give. And I'm given the opportunity to do that. I'm learning that is not as common as I originally thought.
It's not, but
that is,
it's getting better.
Yeah. Front or back of house.
Yeah.
That is what I see the hospitality industry for me. I want to provide, because for me, I love parties, but I like being the person that like
hosting, organizing,
runs the party.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Like I like showing people things. I like say, hey, look at this.
That's
try
the role
this.
Of a
what
producer.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it is a role
even
of a producer.
Something I thought of is even if it's not in a restaurant, I've thought about food media as well. If it's literally curating something like that.
I have a lot of thoughts about food media.
I have a lot of thoughts about food journalism specifically. But that is a different episode that we'll be having later this season. So I have a few more things that I want to explore. I think that it's great how we have spoken about the industry and just like the, you know, perception of it and so on and so forth. But Alex, what have you experienced during your time within the industry that you would say is very inspiring or very positive?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because, like, of course, all the time I'm always comparing, obviously, Ireland and here. But
yeah,
definitely here, even just like, I went for sushi for the first time.
Oh, how was that?
You
it was really good.
Sushi for the first time in the air quotes Midwest.
Look,
fuck
I mean,
me up. Tell me more.
I've recently heard that Chicago is the best sushi in the country. I don't
know. Sushi is fire here. No, but I know that we're both from the islands. I know. Okay. Go on.
I just know how long it takes seafood to get from the outside to the inside. So, like, yes, there are a lot of places that do a very good job at like having the best sushi.
Yeah.
Well, sushi grade fish in, but like the sustainability of it.
So
all.
The one thing. So before I let you answer that question, Alex, I used to be a part of a Michelin starred establishment to where it was. I mean, it was all seafood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about sustainability of it? Simply was not sustainable.
No,
because
it's not.
Every single day there was fresh seafood flown in and like picked up at O'Hare and delivered to this restaurant. I was just like, well, we can't even talk about the carbon footprint of that because that is fucking insane.
Yeah.
But was it delicious? You're goddamn right. But the greater impact of having your ego satisfied to have something like that set up for you 5 days a fucking week is insanity. absolute insanity. But Alex, please carry on.
Yeah, and on this, I feel like I have there's so much that I've experienced over the last while to say, but this sticks out just because I actually haven't eaten out a lot because I'm like, I'd actually be like an avid, like as in person for just cooking at home.
Yes.
Not in terms of just
big
saving
Virgo
money.
Virgo energy.
And again, I'm cooking for 5 people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's... But I went out for sushi. It was great. I mean, we had like... It was like me and my roommates. We had like 3 of the like the appetizers or whatever. Then like the big platter of sushi. Just like sort of fend for yourselves.
Yeah.
Really good. And like seafood in Ireland isn't it is there. And it's just not as like extensive as like here and stuff. So, but enjoyed
it.
We'll be gone.
Seafood in Ireland is not.
No, like it is, but very different. As in, you'll have your country folk who are. Well, in fairness, everyone in Ireland is just like potatoes, veg, and meat, but not generally fish.
They're different kind of island folk.
No, I get it. No, I get it.
I mean, like the server is brilliant. You're like the industry here is like everyone is so nice. Whether they're not.
Yeah.
On the inside,
I will say that.
On the outside, it's like, oh, how are you today?
It's very rare that you get someone who's like dead on the inside serving you here in Chicago.
Yeah, and it's brilliant to see because in Ireland, I mean. I suppose in here you're looking for not that you're looking for tips, but like most people kind of live off tips, and you're like,
you're looking for tips.
So that aspect is they're nearly performing for you, but at the same time it's great. Like I mean, they're constantly with you, and it's really cool to see. But then
you feel catered to,
and you feel like. Right, this money that I'm paying or like whatever is worth it, and like the food's great, people are great, and you're like, yeah, okay, I've had a great experience. I'm not saying you don't have a great experience in Ireland, but like they have their wage no matter what, and it's like, you just bring your food and you'll get some. Obviously, like the Irish people are kind of known for being like chatty and like they're nice and all that, but yeah, here it just feels that more like. Out there, it's like you know.
Wait till you get to Boston. It is not like that. They are not nice people there.
They're not.
But, right.
Yeah. I was weirded out when I first
moved
here.
You like Dunkin' Donuts?
I've only had a coffee from there once, and funnily enough, it was yesterday that I got it. But I'll have to try it.
You know, much of that Dunkin' as Dunkies. Boston.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts everywhere.
Is it Dunkin' Donkies?
No,
is that where they're from?
Or Dunks?
Is that where they're from?
I don't know where they're from, but it's where like most of them are.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say, Starbucks, what is up? Like because
it's
there's
everywhere.
One every like 2 blocks.
Yes. What?
Like
yes.
What?
That's capitalism. So
I was expecting to see McDonald's every 2 blocks.
Oh, they're there too.
Oh, well, okay. So in different states, McDonald's are
in
a lot
different
more prevalent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, literally different states because Chicago is known for their smaller restaurants.
Yeah.
It's known for that in between fast food and slow food.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a lot more neighborhood spots like Mexican
like food movement.
I love Taco Bell.
Okay.
Fuck me up. But El Charro Taqueria, 1 block away from my house, that's like where I go if I want actual Mexican food.
Yeah.
Because Taco Bell is not that.
Yeah, people I'm working with as well have brought me in loads of Mexican food.
Yep.
And I'm like I wouldn't have known to go to these places and experience them. So like I've been like forever grateful for them, like eating so much. But
if anyone ever tries to tell you that you need to go to Lazo's, go right next door and go to Arturo's and get yourself all the way to
there. Really?
Yeah, Arturo's is fire. And I would fight anyone that decides to slide in my DMs about it because Lazo's is meh. Arturo's, fire.
Have not been to either, but grew up watching like the competition between the two. They're literally right next to each other
on
a major street. And I thought, like, how does that even work?
Because it's Armitage and Western.
They're both like large restaurants. They're not like small, like they're small, like probably family owned restaurants, but in terms of the size of like the dining room, they're not small.
Yeah. Go to Arturo's.
Okay.
But yes, if you have the time before you go back.
I will do. And then, I suppose, because I could talk about this for ages, but like a final note on that. Yeah, people, servers, brilliant. And then the thing I would say is there's just so much. And I don't feel there's a need for so much. I know, I understand, the population here is, so much bigger than Ireland. Mm-hmm. But,
so much in regards to how? Like, in regards to...
Like, people, restaurants.
Are we just doing too much?
Are we just doing too much?
It's like a bit of both. Obviously, you have so much of a population that, obviously people need to work. People need jobs, people are setting up their own businesses and all that. But again, you're coming back to carbon footprint and just exhausting resources. And you know how much of that food gets thrown out.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So you've seen
that firsthand over the past couple months. And Albie, we're going to talk about that in a second.
As a business, understandably, it's it's not sanitary and whatever. If it's been out and you're throwing it out. But there's just so many restaurants and so much of everything that it's it does not hurt me. I don't know how to describe it, but
it can hurt you. I mean, it's wildly disappointing to me. Yeah. And there are chefs, there are concepts, and there are groups that enact policies to ensure that their waste is always substantial, because they do not want their staff to take anything. There is something that's coming to mind very specifically about a gentleman that I used to work with who's an absolute saint. There's all of this to-go food that was going to be thrown away. Mm. He used to put it in a bag and donate it to a homeless shelter, and they found out and tore him a new one.
Which is just... He's doing the right thing.
Like literally the right thing.
I know someone who got fired for taking a pie that was going to be thrown out at the end of their huge Thanksgiving banquet. Got fired because they took it off the property.
That's
something very relevant. Last night, there is Lollapalooza. We usually go crazy on to-goes at the restaurant. Last night, the whole line had 4 to-go orders, and we had to, I didn't see it happen, but I assume that they had to throw out probably a whole medium-sized, warmer full of to-go food.
Hmm. Yep.
There's a 1,000 other things that they could have done with that, but
But some places are doing this thing now where they give an incentive to these chefs specifically if they can keep food costs down by not going over a certain amount for the quarter. So then they get a couple of grand bonus if they order the exact amount of food and everything gets used exactly as such. And
don't get me started on any of that, because that's absolute fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just that doesn't.
It's actually, it's just in time. That's what it's called. Yeah. JIT. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, I thought there was
No, yeah, I know. I knew you were going to think that as well. Yeah, it's called just in time.
I was like, wait a second. I had a neighbor that used to do that.
A little light on the subject. There's an app called Too Good to Go.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I have heard of that. One of my friends told me about it since I got here.
What is that?
Like the to-go waste that happens that we're talking about. You can buy it from restaurants for an extremely reduced rate. Yeah. They'll post we have X amount of meals
from
that are X
place,
amount of size in this place.
Yeah. Shout out to them. That's awesome.
I think Broey uses it at some vegan places. Yeah.
Shout out to Broey. So I forward the same question that I asked to Alex to you, Albie. What is something that you feel has been very positive and inspiring for your time throughout the industry, specifically maybe your internship or something that you're looking forward to after you leave where you're at?
Something that is inspiring for me is that there's a lot of wrong, but I have met people that want to do right. Like, depending on if they're just not in a position, or they don't have the support behind them, between one of the chefs
that we worked with who's no longer at the place we work. There's people that want to do it right. And I think the culture of the hospitality industry is slowly but changing. And I think it's interesting that I'm in culinary school right now, because our instructors are very much the old school way.
Yeah.
We're not, well, actually there's one chef who throws things, but.
Well, no shout out to them. At all.
I have them this semester, but that's fine.
Sorry about it.
But a lot of them are still lead for the most part in that old school way, where it's more pushing your mental state, not insultingly, like it's definitely calmed down to what you see in a restaurant, but as much as you can do in an education standpoint.
Yes. Well, I want to say that you both are, but you have wildly different like backgrounds and, you know, overall industry trajectories here. But Albie, you specifically, just in regards to the States, you know, you're a part of a generation that could really dismantle what the industry is.
And I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. Like, I see a lot of coverage on like young chefs, even in the Michelin type of restaurant, mm-hmm. that are legitimately trying to change that.
Yeah.
And I see it in my school. Some chefs are happy about, or not as happy about as others. You'll hear them say like, oh, the students aren't like they used to be.
Yep.
Or like, yeah. I can't say this nowadays. Like I thought that's a cliche,
yeah.
But you have no idea how many times I legitimately heard chefs say that.
It's real. It's crazy.
But,
well, it's nice to know that they're out there in front of people saying that shit. But at the same time,
there are chefs.
Great.
There are older chefs that I work with.
And on such an educational platform.
Great. Yeah, that they see it. They're like, no, like, it reminds me of something that one of my chefs said, that it's like halfway to a backhanded compliment, but I just took it as a compliment. He said, the last generation worked harder than your generation, but the one thing that I would rather have I would take your generation over any other generation, because you guys actually see problems and look to fix them.
Yes.
With it. But he's like, but the last generation did work harder than you guys.
Well, so that's because
I just went through a rollercoaster of emotions hearing that. I was just like,
we did too. Cause he told the whole class this. We're like, I have no idea if we should say thank you or not.
Yep.
He's like, I will choose you guys over any generation because you see the problems and you actively look for solutions.
Yeah. Well, that's because they've spent so long trying to instill a sense of urgency into everyone,
right.
That like the sense of urgency, I think, has been embedded in people in the food service industry. But mm-hmm. our willingness to work through those moments are different because we want to never experience it again. Mm-hmm. So we're like, how can we avoid this? Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that older generations are recognizing the difference, and it's not always completely horrible. But like, I learned from the next generation coming in that like, you can quit your job and just go find another one.
That is correct.
Just be like, I'm done. Cause I.
And you can be done for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like the whole idea to where it's just like, you're screwing someone else over. It's just like, I mean, that's so manipulative.
Yeah.
That it's just like, if you're not fulfilled, if you're not enriched and empowered by what you're doing, then I mean, the only person that's missing out is you,
yeah.
But who's capitalizing off of you would be your employer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Capitalism.
Yeah, that does not deserve a jingle.
I think it does, because it's Erware.
Right.
That's but I fun. Feel like, and then just on that, in terms of the education point of view and what you were saying, and that like, we don't work harder, but like, they'd rather have us. See, I just from when I've been teaching and stuff, you can see. So like younger than me and the generation coming, again, it's that kind of thing where whether they're like lack of attention and all that is like something to do that. We have probably like a bit, we're a bit of a mix, like as in like we didn't grow up with like mass technology where these kids have. The attention,
no corded phones.
The attention span is like
so
not
you're not
there.
Tethered to anything.
Yeah. But at the same time, we're teaching them to be like, yeah, themselves. Again, what you were saying, Justin, and yeah. like, if you're not happy in doing something, yeah, go. But at the same time, the work ethic will go down.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
more the generations come on, it's just going to be like. Yeah. I'm bored.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That yeah. whole thing is going to yeah. come in, and
because yeah, I mean, my parents lived to work, and like I try to not be that way, but Nariba is looking at me crazy because like that's it's something that I'm conscious of, but I want to like stop doing that, and I hope somewhere down the line, long after me, just culturally and society, like you know, socially, people are like, you know what, it's so much more than, you know, dollars and bank accounts. It's so much more than, yeah. you know, what you can ascend to. It's more about the quality of the journey in which you are a part of.
That's the only way that's going to happen is if an asteroid hits the Earth and we have to start over from scratch again.
Well, you know what? I'm a part of a group chat. I'm a part of a
I mean, we've done it more than two times, so.
Yeah, this group chat I'm a part of, it is named Justin is Moving to Mars. So one day, I'm just going to be so fed up, I'm going to figure out how I can walk to Mars.
You and Broey, and it together.
You know what?
You should talk to them about it.
That's why I'm like, Thanos, he was probably somewhat right, just kind of went like a
I know it's a little dark, but yeah. I agree.
You know what? I am not.
He knows nothing about
that,
Thanos,
but that's
he knows nothing.
That's fine. Yeah. I believe that that's an MCU thing.
It is. I said it hoping one person would pick it up.
It landed. So as we are coming up on time, mm-hmm. I want to obviously thank you both, but also open the floor to both of you to express anything that you would like in regards to, you know, your experience, our audiences, to just hear, you know, any words, any additional words.
Anything you would like them to know
About the industry and just their journey and how they might be navigating all of the muck.
You go for this one.
Y'all are so polite.
I know. Gosh.
I guess what I would put out there is fight the good fight. Yeah. Revolution's coming.
Yeah. And it is televised. So.
Yes, it is. It's a brewing. The world will be watching.
And support the person next to you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Alex?
And I suppose maybe like, something. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's an Irish thing. It could be just like my mom, but what's for you won't pass you. Firm believer of that. So like, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Yeah. Like, you might have to go through shit. You might have to go through like really good times, but like you'll end up in like sort of where you want to be. Well, not necessarily where you want to be, but what's for you.
Yes.
And again, like what's for you won't pass it.
So. I'm here for that. Yeah. Nan knows what's up. Yeah.
So in the industry, that's where I've come through. I feel like it does shape you. So yeah, if you're in there, just keep it up and it'll happen.
I love that. So if you're comfortable with it, where can we find you?
Like on the internet, if you want people to be like, oh my God, I listened to your episode of the podcast and I thought you were really nice.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, like probably Instagram.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to even remember what my Instagram is. Like,
he's very frequent. Alex
Finnegan 1, okay. I think that's what it is. Or like email is Finnegan.
Oh, duh.
No.
I heard you needed insurance.
Yeah.
No.
Everyone trying to all the Americans trying to influx the Irish, just like I don't know. Yeah. No. Instagram would be probably about it. Like this is new for me, so it's okay, thanks for that.
Awesome. Albie.
Justin's new favorite thing to call me is my Instagram handle.
This is
Birdo Bites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yes, it is. I'm a very big fan of it.
Shout out my brother Harry for coming up with it.
But what did it used to be called?
It didn't. You see, again, he doesn't listen to me, so he gets things mixed up. It didn't used to be called this, but when I was interested more in the music industry, it was almost Birdo Beats. See? I was not making beats, though. I at no point was considering making beats.
Oh, okay. Well, this is awkward, but yes, I cannot wait to let everyone know that they can find you at Birdo Bites, which is one of the most adorable Instagram names I have ever heard of in my entire life. Nothing against Alex Finnegan 1, okay?
Yeah, it's just a bit on the nose.
It's very, very straightforward. So before we do the things that we know that we have to do, in closing to you both, how was your time with us?
Amazing. It's been, yeah, more than I thought, like, as in just in like every aspect. This is obviously new for me, but like, it's been super fun.
Yeah.
Super welcoming. And yeah, I mean, like, could have chatted for ages about anything. Mm-hmm. So.
That is like basically the thing that we try to do.
Yep.
Just shooting the shit, making people feel comfortable.
That's it.
And getting out your deepest and darkest secrets.
Yes. Entice them in, make them feel comfortable, and then bam. Yes.
Yeah, it feels very industry.
I
think this, I've had a great time. I'll refer a conversation I had with Justin the first time I listened to the podcast when I knew I was coming on. I was like, hey, like, awesome podcast. Like, I really enjoyed it. He's like, yeah, I know. It's a thing.
Okay.
Literally, I will be like talking to someone and like, oh, I've like, I really enjoy your podcast. And I'm just like, thanks. Just feeling awkward because people are out there listening to us.
This is why Nariba and I make such a great team, because she refuses to take any of the positive affirmation. And
100.
I'm just like, you know, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of
it's
time.
Very apparent. No, it's very apparent the work that you guys do. Yeah.
Thank you. And so when it is presented, I receive it. So
I'm getting better at it.
I know.
I'm trying.
I know.
I feel like the more that you put me in front of people, mm-hmm. like when we are not recording but doing outdoor things, not like, I'm not bringing that up.
Okay. No,
I'm not bringing it up. I'm talking about like when we, can we talk about the James Beard situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we did like the James Beard like mm-hmm. Media Awards thing,
yeah.
I was like, I have to talk to people. This is crazy. Yeah. But I was very good at it.
You're great
I just
at it.
Like when they start doing the thing where like, oh, the podcast is so good, I'm just like rambling
like,
on the internet, and someone has I just
myself.
Died on the inside a little bit.
You can just go with the classic Irish phrase, if anybody ever compliments you, you just go, "Ah, sure, look."
I'll say that now.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're not like accepting it, but you're just like, yeah, it was nothing.
I'm acknowledging it.
Oh, it was nothing. It was easy. It's you know,
it's, look, it's what I'm doing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Like, I'm down.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
Heard.
Yeah, takeaway. Hey, heard. Yes. That is the same.
Yeah. Absolutely. So just on my end, I want to thank again you both for joining us.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to our home studio here at Blind Barber Chicago.
See.
Also, thank you to our friends at Asway Garden for assisting in the overall set design. Thank you 1,000 times to our partners and sponsors over at Athletic Brewing. And my name is Justin Arnett Graham. You can find me on Instagram at ThisIsBico. And also, do not forget to show us some love at Terms of Service Podcast, also on Instagram.
With a whole new design.
With our full branding out. And by the time that this drops, you will have some merch to choose from.
Ooh.
And it will be absolute fire. And if you ever have any thoughts on to things that we should look into in regards to conversations or merch options, this platform is your platform. So don't forget it. And we'll see you out there.
My name is Nariba Shepherd. You can find me on Instagram at REBARU, Rebaru. And
I need a little bit more energy on that because I know.
Oh my god!
I know that we are recovering.
All
from
of my energy has been sucked out of kayaking. My body from kayaking.
And on that note,
you're welcome.
Peace. All right. Great job.
Thank you.
Great job.
We did it. Good job.
Thank you.